Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A man, no lames on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A man, no lames on the track.
Hey, now it's the Mike and JD show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm typically joined by JD, by God Oliva, but he was unable to make it this week, unfortunately. So what he did is he actually pulled an AEW. AEW is the only company, the only live event televised company in the world that does this, by the way. It's never happened before in the history of sports and entertainment. Television concert, the Oscars, the Golden Globes, none of those things. It's never happened before. But JD decided to take a page of AEW's book and hire a seat filler. So everybody welcome in for the first time ever on the Mike and JD show, JD's seat filler. Welcome, JD's seat filler. Welcome. You have just a little bit less personality than JD, but you're much more handsome, sir.
Motherfucker. Hey, a minute. You didn't tell me we were turning on me. God damn it. I don't want to break my Sting mask because he's coming to Chicago this week and I plan on having him sign it. So,
oh, nice. Yeah, that was a good bit.
That was a good bit. That's one of my favorite things. We had in the wrestling room and I saw it today and I'm like, well, I bought that thing, so it's coming home with me tonight. It's gonna be a perfect for our seat filler gag. Big fan of that one, Mike. That was a great idea.
Yeah. So before we get it, you know, let's just go ahead and get right into it. We typically start off with banter, but I'm kind of like, I can't talk about my week. It's been a hell of a week, but I can't talk about it on the air. so I have nothing that I could literally even talk about right now. So let's just get right into the news. So, you know, Joe Lanza last week on the Voices of Wrestling, he did about 45 minutes about WWE's tremendous, awesome. Like, they are the best at this. They're like their PR war against AEW and just how far advanced they are versus AEW. You know, Nick Khan, he called Nick Khan a beast in a world of circus clowns. And I think that was a tremendous way to describe Nick Khan compared to all the other competition out there in the WWE. He came into this carnival world of WWE and he has totally flipped it upside down and he's made it look like a super competent business that is killing everybody in PR. And he named specifically his communications director, Chris LaGentle, as being a guy that has, you know, befriended a lot of members of the media to even go down to like low level media and like pushing stories, PR stories to them and getting them not to cite him as a source. So it makes it seem like they're doing something like journalistic when really it's just a PR story that's being fed to them and they're kind of running with the shit. And he kind of called it all out. And one of those stories, now we can't specifically sit here and say that Chris LaGentle gave Action News Jacksonville the story of AEW hiring seat fillers, which is one of the most common things that happens in televised entertainment. I personally have like gotten people, not they're not gigs, but they do that through the military all the time. If there's like a local military installation, they'll give out free tickets to fill up seats. Every company has done it. I've been to free UFC events, tons of them, right? Boxing events. Just recently, BQ went to an AEW event. And then recently, he went to TNA for free. WWE gives out free tickets. Everybody gives out free tickets. And then like Oscars, Golden Globes, concerts, everything. They have what is called seat fillers for like hard cam side. So when people leave their seats for a prolonged period of time, it's their job to essentially go and sit into those seats. That way it doesn't look like there's empty seats. Very common thing. But what the WWE did is they got this clown in Jacksonville who happens to be on the local news there and apparently has an issue with Tony Khan. They're like feuding or something like that and published a story. And of course, all the scumbag aggregators went for it, to include one guy from a prominent site went like quote tweeted. He ended up deleting it later, whatever. I'm sure his boss called him out. His boss is pretty schooled up on this stuff.
His boss called him out. Is the biggest idiot of them all. Which boss are you talking about, by the way?
Sap. I'm talking about. I'm pretty sure like Sap told me to take it down. Not Jimmy Van.
I meant Jimmy.
I bet like Sap. Sap is he knows the shit. So, and so anyway, it became a whole thing. And what it did is it kicked off Vince McMahon off the headlines of what's going on in his case. So I introduced the story. I know you got a lot to say about it. I have a lot to say. JD, take it away.
Surprisingly, I don't got as much as you might think I do. Yeah, I don't mean to call it Sean Rothsap. He's going through some stuff right now. So, you know, I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing people struggle. That being said, call it Jimmy Van all you want because he's a scumbag. This Irish dork. You know, it's funny. I'll stop prefacing. It was Joe's idea. Joe, our boss for Voices of Wrestling. Joe's whole idea was to praise WWE and call out AEW for not being, you know, for bringing a, you know, was a knife to a gunfight. You know, it might actually be bringing like, you know, paper clips to a gunfight, really, the way this whole thing's going on. But a lot of the, you know, people in our circles have kind of turned on the media and he's like, I don't want to see you guys doing that. And I disagree completely. I think we should completely turn on the media. I think you should call them out for every bit of fucking bullshit they pull because they don't, these are guys that know better should be called out. And some Irish kid, right, who doesn't know what he's doing needs to be called on. The same way goes, what did I tell you to say one good thing about WWE? Well, yeah, they're great at cover-ups. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
they successfully covered up Nancy Argento's murder. Bravo. Like, what? Yeah.
This kid, we actually brought him up 2 weeks ago because King of the really? North actually sent me one. He sent me the tweet and actually brought it up right here on the air. Like, his tweet saying, telling Drain Bramager, can you possibly give WWE credit for anything? It's like, so you know where this kid's head's at, right? Like, he's got like a couple of sources in developmental. He's like living off of those sources and it's kind of gotten him some notoriety. And now he's really seeing what this kid's like. Kind of similar to the other like small child in the UK. His name at, by the way.
Yes. Oh, he disappeared. Good thing. The pizza fucker. Yeah. So here's the thing is that like both you and I have gotten a modicum of, you know, notoriety at various points from just stuff that we do, but now that you or I have ever taken it seriously, like I wrote that viral story on Kenny Omega about 4 years ago. You've done a ton of stuff with the Impact world, but both you and I are adults. You know, we're not kids, yeah. So we know that internet fame and a wish in one hand is, you know how that thing goes. It doesn't mean anything, but a lot of these guys like let this stuff get to their head and they think that they're something special. When in reality, you're not. You're a useful idiot. And that's what we have right now in the wrestling media is a bunch of useful idiots. I'm not the biggest Rovert fan in the world, but I get entertained when Rovert calls out a bunch of people. And like, I know Sean's going through some stuff. I don't want to bag on Sean right now. And I know that he has to defend his people.
I specifically don't think that he's the problem, by the way.
I don't either.
I think his lane, like he's very much like our, like in our world, the wrestling media world. And unfortunately, as much as I have been fighting against it, the fact of the matter is that we're probably like low level guys like a part of it. Like we're definitely like wrestling media. We're like the anti media, but we're definitely kind of part of it. But he is like our like Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, or you know, Ken Rosenthal. You know, like very like a lot of his scoops shorthand, like very like accurate with free agency, like who's going where and yada yada yada. So that stuff. So I'm not calling him out specifically.
No, and I think you should. I mean, he's going to defend the people that he works with, but I just think he works. I don't know, man. Like they got that whole little crew there, and that was, I'll be honest with you. When the one mate, when you got into it, you weren't even trying. When John Alba tried to draw you into a fight, and you didn't, you know, you just did the Mike Gilbert thing of talk some shit and walk away. I jumped right into the fire because I never met a fight I wasn't willing to walk away from, and you know, I pretty much told Sean Rossap that I think you guys are a PR wing, and he didn't disagree with me. You know, like. You know, when you speak to people like an adult and say, look, man, this is what you guys are doing. I didn't get emotional. I didn't call names into it. Like, you know, he didn't really argue with me. They kind of know what they are. Like, and that's the problem. This is where the power of what Nick Khan and Chris Gentile are doing right now is like they're giving them information. They're giving people news, but they don't want to be sourced, right? They don't want to be quoted. So, I mean, like saying, Joe gave the best example on Flagship about the releases and saying, oh, the releases are much kinder this time, which, by the way, Trevor Lee disputed that. The guy who got fired, actually.
Yeah. And we're going to, I have the whole list of releases. We're going to get into that because
I'm fine with that.
Some thoughts. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, and for them to say that, it goes, well, the releases this time are much gentler, right? It's totally different than to print that than to write. Sources in WWE say, you know, it changes the topic. It changes the narrative on it. And the fact that these useful idiots are willing to play ball is, I think they should be called out on it because they have to be educated. Because I don't think a lot of these people have gone through media ethics. I don't think a lot of these people understand the game that they're playing. So I think I'm a firm fan of holding feet to the fire. And it's the only way you're going to learn is through failure. And to be called out and dragged across goals a little bit. I know Joe didn't say that. JD's saying that. I'm saying it's time to call these people out because WWE knows what they're doing and they're trying to create smoke screens. They got a massive problem right now. We'll talk about the Janelle Grant lawsuit later, but they're trying to distance themselves from Vince McMahon as much as possible. So the way you do that is you turn people on Tony Khan, who plays into it far too well, to be quite honest with you.
He falls for it and
yeah, and, he does.
He really does. He gets sucked into it and that's his fault. Like that, I mean, like he's the only one to blame for his behavior online. Like he really needs to put the phone away sometimes, but he just doesn't know how to do that.
No. And I get it. I get not being able to turn down an argument. I used to be really bad about that. I've gotten better about that. You know, I think I've said before, 2024 has been a year. I've really been taking time to work on me a lot, you know various aspects. I think Tony Khan needs to take some stock in himself a little bit and kind of clear himself because he was winning this thing for a long time. And we talk about wrestling being a carnival business, a carny business, right? And it's always these carny guys. Well, Nick Khan's not a carny. He's a goddamn shark.
Yes.
Right? And he's feasting on these people. Feasting on them. And I don't like it because I don't like WWE. I still think it's a vile organization, right? But I can't be mad at Chris Gentile for doing his job, right? His job is to make WWE look good. His job is to protect WWE. He's kicking ass. He's kicking ass. Yeah. It's not his fault. The Corey Brennan's a freaking idiot and we'll just go, WWE is the greatest. You know, it's just it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a company, like a big company like that, you want Nick Khan. And Chris Legentil on your side. You want them on your side. They are monsters. They really like in the best possible way. Every time there is some type of negative story related about Vince McMahon, and the new story that came out wasn't exactly like wasn't anything like groundbreakingly new, like the shocking stuff that we heard originally, but it's still like pertinent.
Pretty right? vile.
And we're and BJ is going to explain it to us because you guys should know one thing about JD and I. We're not like the brightest guys, especially when it comes to like legal speak. But BJ Bethel, What you reminded me, I was supposed to give him the link. I forgot, but I sent it to him just like a couple seconds ago.
That's okay. Yeah. I was wondering what that look was for. Okay. I got it now.
Like, oh shit. I forgot to send BJ though. So BJ is going to come on because he's really been kind of digging in. Like it's been BJ and Brandon Thurston and John Pollock and those three specifically that have been really digging into the story and getting us the pertinent information. It's just unfortunate that every time they come out with something, WWE figures out a way to take control of the narrative and take control of the headlines by pushing out through their surrogates in the media. And I said surrogates in the media kind of bullshit stories. At the same time that that story was breaking, not only did we get the seat filler story that was coming out, we would also get here's the rundown for today's NXT backstage news on NXT's lineup match order, right? Like that's what people are running with. And then all of a sudden it gets and this is something that Joe explained and Rich, I think Rich did a good job explaining this too. Mm-hmm. Then what it does is it gets aggregated by all the different sites. And then it pushes down the Vince story down the pecking order of the headlines because they don't keep it at the top. Mm-hmm. They're just, it's like, it just, as you post a new story, the big story keeps pushing, going down, down, down further. And it defeats the algorithm in like a bad way to where like now that is not in the forefront of your mind. And honestly, I would say even on our podcast, we have fallen for it because we have gone with like, I would say bigger, more topical stories, you know, CM Punk, right? Which I felt like we had to, and I thought that was a great story, but we didn't probably focus as much on the Vince stuff the last couple of weeks as I'd wanted to, mainly because there hasn't really been a lot of new information, but there has been this week. So we're jumping right into it. And we really wanted to get, you know, give our take on this whole WWE PR stuff because we've been talking about this stuff since before we joined Voices of Wrestling. This has been a topic that you and I have been covering for a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's something that both of us are passionate about discussing. Here's the thing. We're not innocent in all this. Like you are, how do I say this? Your concern is how the show grows, right? And how the show gets bigger and how we grow our network and our brand. Like that's really what Mike Gilbert kind of spearheads. And I respect that. But I mean, you play the game more than I would say probably anyone else in our network. You post a video and you do find the Tony Khan on the unflattering Tony Khan pictures and the headlines that, you know, well, I'm just being honest. Let's talk about
it. I know, screen. But in my defense, I only do it whenever he's kind of being a goof.
Yes.
which is not that often, but like, I felt like last week it was, or 2 weeks ago, it was pertinent. Like mm-hmm. where he was kind of like, I thought that whole all in footage was a bad idea. So if he's going to be a goof, I'm going to put a goofy picture. But I've done it to Vince. I've done it to Triple H and mm-hmm. Akibono's story. Did it to myself.
but the difference is the algorithm treats the Tony Khan stuff better.
Yeah.
Right. That was our, we didn't advertise it. It was our best drawing episode ever.
No.
Right.
It barely beat out the John Laurinaitis one. John Laurinaitis was our biggest. And, mm-hmm. And I put a funny picture, not funny, but like a weird picture of John Laurinaitis too.
Yeah.
Like him making some kind of face.
Because
like
that's how you, but that's how you play into the narrative. And most people that would post that Tony Khan thing would be like an Eric Bischoff clone, or being like, AEW is gonna die, blah blah blah, and we don't do that. So I do think, like I said, like you play into the tropes, but I don't think that we deliver on it the way that I think people who see our pictures are, you know, would think that we do, which is why we get a lot of comments like, "You guys are idiots, man." So, and I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Yeah,
but well, I mean, like, that's the price to play.
I feel we do it to everybody. Hell, I did it to Scott D'Amore when he got fired. Like. But I've been watching a lot of like, and this is just a little bit inside baseball about podcasting and growing a YouTube. I've just been watching videos on how to grow YouTube, and they say you need eye-catching thumbnails, right? Eye-catching thumbnails. And I am not a Photoshop expert, so I do everything just on my phone. I should take a class in DeKalb High School about how to use Photoshop, probably. I know a teacher that can do that, but yeah, but I do everything on my phone with this app called Canva. And then there's another app called AI Mirror, and it says AI, but it's not like generating fake images. All it's doing is it's taking the image and just brightening it and sharpening it and getting the features out. And so I do that. And then on my phone, I can just like cut out the part that I want and make a transparent image, and then I just slap it on a Canva thing, and then I upload that as a thumbnail. This is completely boring to the audience about like my strategy for YouTube, but that's been the strategy, and it's been growing pretty well. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I don't feel like I'm doing anything dishonest. And I know Joe called out like Funny Tony Conface. So I did put a comment in the YouTube. I was like, hey, just so you guys know, when I put Funny Tony Conface, like I get like 600% more likes if I do that, or 600% more views. Right. It works. But what I won't do is like, if he's doing something cool, like tonight we're going to get into, if he's doing something cool, I'm not going to put like unflattering Tony Khan image, right? I'm gonna make sure it fits the story.
Baby Boosters, thank you for the YouTube talk. Hey, I think I like how this sucks. I mean, you know, Mike, I have my whole class on Google Drive. I should just give you the links to everything, and you can learn Photoshop if you wanted.
I could, but then I'd have to pay for Photoshop. My wife stopped doing photography. Yeah, my wife stopped doing photography. And thank you, Baby Huey. Actually, Danny just texted me too. He's watching live. So so my wife, she was like a professional photographer a little bit, like a freelancer. And so she was like, had Photoshop. So she was like teaching me some stuff. But since she's not doing that gig anymore, I'm just not, we don't have like access to it.
Well, I mean, you could have access to it if someone gave you their, you know, Adobe Cloud login information or something.
Since you brought it up.
But anyways, like, you're right. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, this is like, this is why I wanted to bring this up, because I mean, like, you can, I think I just want to say, because you could easily say, well, that's exactly what you guys do. And it is, because it works. Yeah. Because that is what plays well with the algorithm, because WWE PR has done such a great job spinning this, that this is what serves, like this is what works, right? And it's bad. It's really bad for AEW.
Yeah. Yeah. And they really need to step up their game. And I think they have the money to do that. And that was part of the conversation that we had with BJ, is like, they have the means to be able to hire these folks, but right now AEW just doesn't have the infrastructure to compete at that level. Mm-hmm. It's like the Democratic Party versus the Green Party. You know, when it comes to that, like, and like narrative spin, and like, they have like full blown sharks. Like, I bet Nick Khan could run like a presidential campaign. I fully believe that he could, and he would probably do a great job.
Thank God he's not.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I mean, like, he might go
for somebody that we wouldn't like.
That's what I'm saying. If this man chose to use his powers for evil instead of, like, you know, kind of evil, like, it could be scary, to be quite frank. I mean, like, ultimately, like, this, you know, I'm not trying to downplay the Janelle Grant thing whatsoever, because they have really tried to distance themselves from that. Although I do think they're, you know what I think, but.
Yeah,
like, if he was so inclined, it could be spooky, because they're really, really good at this. Yeah. And unfortunately, Tony Khan just, man, he's out of his element. He's really good at being a shit poster, but being a shit poster isn't like being a goddamn tiger, right? Yeah. That's what you're up against here, is you're up against a damn tiger. And like, this whole glorifying of Triple H, which makes me sick to my stomach every time I see it, is playing so well, because now they've had to build their new demagogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've had to build their new guy, because they got to get the attention off of Vince, and they think, you know, Triple H is the guy to do that with. Maybe he's got less skeletons in his closet.
Maybe. I don't know that that's true. I
don't know
if
that's true at all. I don't know
if it is true or that it's not true, but
I don't know either. I don't know it either way. But I mean, that's why I said maybe.
I really don't want to assume that someone doesn't or does at this point, because nothing would shock me.
No.
Right? Yeah.
If you just assume that everybody's a scumbag, you're never let down.
Yeah. But hey, before, I don't know if we're going to get BJ on. I have not seen his response yet. No. So I hope he's able to
come on.
I hope he's able to come on. I'm just going to check right now. JD, why don't you go ahead while I check this? Why don't you go ahead and plug the Kickstarter real quick? I know you got that coming up, and then I'm gonna get in our Patreon plugs, and then I want to get into our next story, because it is so awesome.
I left the book at home, or at school, I should say. I would plug it. The Kickstarter for Gaijin is scheduled to launch on May 6th. I'm debating pushing it a week because I got finals right now for my grad school and it's eating up a lot of time. So I'm not having as much chance as I want to build the Kickstarter page. So I may kick that back a week. I'll have a firm decision next week on the show. But we're launching soon and we're going to be selling the paperback and hardcover version of Gaijin, my new novel. And you know, so it's going to be, you're going to have digital versions, you're going to have access to all my books if you want. I mean, that's what makes Kickstarter really cool, is you're not just checking out a book, you're checking out a whole campaign around a book. And this is a book I've gone kind of crazy for. You know, it takes place during a fictionalized version of the G1, so I made the program, right? We have the entries for all the guys in the tournament. Like, it helps, I think it helps round out some of the characters in the book that you don't have time to really get into, and plus it's just kind of fun. You know, and then you've got the main event, the book itself. And quite frankly, I think it's the best book I've ever written. The people that have read it and have gotten back to me have had really good things to say about it. I'm real excited. I hope the people listening to this show were willing to give it a chance when the Kickstarter goes live in a couple weeks. Because for an independent author, Kickstarter is the best way to kind of get the word out for what you're doing. Like, I'm going to make more money. And quite frankly, I make more money in a Kickstarter than I do by selling on Amazon. So, you know, it's, if you're interested in supporting what we do on the show, if you're interested in reading a good book, quite frankly, I think it's going to be something for you, especially if you're listening to this show. Yeah. Because this is a book that's really written for people like us, for Smart Mark fans. I had a comment today, like, do wrestling fans like the behind the scenes stuff? And I said, oh yeah, like vast majority of us prefer it.
Yeah, they live and die by it, really. Yeah. A lot of times. Yeah.
And that's something kind of hard to explain to the outsiders. So, but this is the book for us. I wrote this book for our people. Like, this is a book that is meant to appeal to us. But it's like, oh, this could make a great movie. I'm like, maybe not. Maybe not. So, yeah. You know, I can't wait to get it in your hands, man. Please give it a read.
Absolutely. And if you really want to support us, head to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. I did a bonus Brace for Impact. So I did the Brace for Impact review on, like, I dropped that on Friday where I'm just reviewing the episode. And then of course I went live on our YouTube after Rebellion and I did a full Rebellion recap. And I never did get around to the Dynasty recap because, man, Monday was a hell of a day for me. I worked from 7 in the morning till midnight and I just could not catch up. And so I was way behind. But Sunday night, I actually did a bonus Brace for Impact where I went on about a 35-minute rant on jerks on Twitter hating on Matt Hardy going to TNA.
I don't get
which,
that.
Which I just don't understand. Like,
me either.
Yeah, it's like it honestly, it baffled me, like, the amount of hate that I got, because I understand that Matt Hardy can't go. He couldn't go before he went to AEW. Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't been able to go for a long time. Putting him in this broken gimmick, he doesn't have to go, right? He doesn't have to actually work at, like, 5-star matches. He's doing a gimmick. It is just something that he's going to do for television. Like, it's the perfect place for him. What, you don't want him to have a job? Come on.
That's why he created the broken gimmick.
Yes. Yeah, because he's, like, legit broken. Like, he can't go anymore. So I think this is the best thing for him. It's the best thing for TNA. I think it was the best thing that he was not a fit for AEW at all.
No.
That was just a bad fit there, and it's good that he left.
They
did not want him to go there. They did. They really tried, and it just did not work. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. So anyway, I went on a big rant about that, and then I talked about all the different the signings that TNA had done over the weekend. So go ahead and check that out. It's a really cool, I've gotten really good high remarks on it. Like, for a solo podcast, people can give me a lot of kudos on that. And then also if you're in the chat, and you want to disrupt our train of thought, you want to help support the show, but you don't feel like giving $5 a month, you can drop a $2 super chat or a $5 super chat. Just drop in a super chat. That really does help us out, and it helps us defeat the algorithm too. It actually gets our show in front of more eyeballs. So I really appreciate that. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share. And then if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcast, please give us a 5-star review and share the show. Okay, plugs got out of the way. I am so excited to talk about this, AD. Because first of all, I got to say, did you ever get around to watching Dynamite? I know they didn't have the West Coast feed.
No, they didn't have the West Coast feed. And I just got home from school/practice before the show started. So I haven't watched last night's episode.
Yeah. Okay. You're probably better off because I didn't.
That's what I hear.
I didn't find it to be very, it was borderline unwatchable with the sound quality. It was apparently an issue with the feed that TBS had. Because like internationally on Triller TV, it was fine, but like I DVR'd it and I tried to watch and I just couldn't. It was not a good wrestling show. I didn't like the presentation of Swerve. I didn't like the presentation of Will Ospreay. I can't stand Chris Jericho's Learning Tree thing. Complete ripoff of a TNA thing from 2 years ago. Like, if you're going to rip off anybody, you're going to rip off Brian Myers and fucking Zicky Dice. And God, who else was in that? They had a kid, another kid on there that he looked like the grandson of Dr. D. Had like blonde curls.
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We covered all those shows every week.
Yeah, like a beat for beat verbatim. It is a carbon copy of the Learning Tree, and in fact, they're bringing in Big Bill, who came out, and I'm a fan of his, and he even cut a bad promo because it was a WWE scripted promo that he did with Jericho. So we're doing that, and I was like, I felt bad for Big Bill because he sounded like a goof, right? But so anyway. Like, so I didn't really like that. Of course they had good wrestling matches because that's what AEW does. They have it every fucking week. It's just like, thank you. That's awesome. I get it. So I didn't really care for any of that. And then they get to the end of the show and they have probably one of the most polarizing segments in the history of AEW, where Tony Khan, who swore up and down that he would never get involved in an angle on his pro wrestling TV show, he said, I'm not going to be that guy. I am not going to do that. I'm not going to be Eric Bischoff, Dixie Carter, Vince Russo, Scott D'Amore, Vince McMahon, Triple H, Stephanie. I'm not going to be that person. And they wore him down. They wore him down. They wore him down. And finally, he interjected himself. He booked himself at an angle where he got attacked by Jungle Boy and he took the Meltzer driver from the Young Bucks. I rolled my eyes basically at the segment, although I got to eat shit real quick. Jack Perry. Dude, I think I'm in on Jack Perry.
I told you.
Yeah.
Like, I think we have to stop looking at the New Japan run as a punishment and look at it as a learning excursion. Like, I think sometimes you just got to find something. You just got to find what motivates you. I haven't seen the skip, but I've heard things about him. I saw him a couple weeks ago at the Windy City Riot, and I said, I told you on the show, I thought he might have figured something out. So I'm glad to hear that. I mean, like, I don't know, wrestling, everybody lies and eventually goes back.
Yeah.
I'm also not a fan. I'm also a business. Well, you said you would never do this. Well, think, like, people aren't allowed to change their minds. People aren't allowed to, like, I mean, I don't know, man. I hate holding people to things they said years ago.
Me too.
I'm not going to kill somebody.
Right. Yeah, me too. So that wasn't the big deal. I just don't find him to be a very good performer on television.
I don't either.
And I just have like nightmares about, you know, Dixie Carter and Vince Russo, Bischoff. You know what I mean? Like, those are the three. Vince McMahon actually was a very good television performer. So, but he was just on TV for too long, and once Bischoff was the first, right? Like, heel, like, authority figure on television, at least that I could remember of. And then after that, it was Vince. And then it just became like a trope to where you always had to have an on-air authority figure on camera. And this is like the first time where he's interjected himself. So I didn't really care for it. I thought it was eye-rolling stuff. However, Tony Khan has totally redeemed himself, because here he is at the NFL draft on the NFL Network wearing a neck brace, selling the Meltzer driver. Tony Khan, kudos to you, sir. You are a legend. Now I like the angle.
I appreciate, even though the NFL had the beautiful part. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is how you create some, maybe you don't have Chris LeGentle. I'm never going to say that right. His name, like, his context or his media network, but you can get people talking by just doing something like this. And it forces the NFL to talk about your show, even to say this is just a storyline, and people go, whoa, there's a storyline going on. Like, you're creating awareness. This is a great thing, and he's keeping a little bit of kayfabe alive. It's still real to him. Like, I think this is awesome. I cannot say enough good things about this moment right here.
Yeah. Matt, you know, IO Productions, IO, I have to disagree with you. McAfee's crew buried it. They did not. They did not bury it. They had fun with it, but they had a guy on there playing a character and saying, he was playing like fake Mel Kiper. He said, and he is like, he's like being a dick the whole night. And he was like saying, He's like, "God damn, Tony Khan, don't move your fucking neck. You got to sell it like it's real. Stop moving your fucking neck and smiling." But like everybody else on like having fun with it. Rich That's Eisen funny. Talked about it on the NFL Network, saying, "And Tony Khan becomes the first ever NFL executive to show up at an NFL draft in a neck brace because he got a pile driver from the night before on wrestling show." Like,
dude, that's great. Okay,
look.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, look, I wasn't into it last night, but again, I thought last night was just a day episode. So you know what I mean? So I just didn't really care for the angle, but they won me over with the follow-up, and that oftentimes the follow-up is more important than the angle itself.
Yes. And that's been where AEW struggles. Is that nothing ever? That's been the criticism, and nothing ever means anything. And Tony himself is showing that this means something. So if that's that, no one's been harder on Tony Khan leadership than you and I. And I think right here he is showing leadership. This is how you sell an angle. You know, I bet Jim Cornette actually will praise this eventually.
You know what? Because Jim Cornette actually praised Ospreay and Danielson, which I was shocked. Honestly,
it was an awesome match.
I was like, It was. And I was like, how? Because, like, you know, other people, like the other grifters, found a way to criticize it. And I'll say, you know, say what you want about Cornette. He's pretty, like, he's kind of always been that way.
He's Jim Cornette.
Where he's always hated anything modern. So mm-hmm. he's just kind of over the top with AEW because they're getting money for it. But I think he will praise it. I really do.
This is old school. Like,
yeah.
No, this is good. Like, Tony Khan, again, this is leadership. This is what I said before. Like, he's actually showing some initiative here. Like, he's getting, this is the draft. Like, they timed this perfectly. Like, everybody bitched about when they're going to bring back Jack Perry. Dude, they brought it back the day before the draft when they would have the most amount of eyes possible on them. This is like one of the smartest things they've ever done. And here's the problem. I think guys like you and me are too close to the forest to smell the trees. See, I butchered that analogy. Like, we assume that anytime this happens, it's bad because we've seen it go bad so many times. But this wound up being pretty good. And they'll tell you it's bad. Nick Khan's people are going to be like, "This is bad. Tell them it's bad. Say it's bad." And that Brad Dork down in Jacksonville will say it. But no, this is good. This is how you get people to talk about your product a little bit and get some advertisement. Dave said next week's show, or this week, is it this week's Collision, is going to get a humongous lead in. You have to take advantage of it. And the show wasn't great, but you know people are going to remember from last night's show? They're going to remember Tony Khan taking a pile driver. So, I mean, if you're going to go back on your word, make it count. And I got to be honest with them. I think they made it count for as much as they could. Kudos.
Yeah. No, I agree. Last night's ratings tanked. A lot of that was because they didn't have a West Coast feed.
West Coast feed. And, I'm a habitual. It's eight. They're down 8% and they lost a quarter of the country. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it makes sense because they didn't have the West Coast feed. So that sucked. But then like the audio was terrible. But our Canadian friend, he is the king of all Canada.
He is the king.
Canada, the king of all Canadians, king of the North, says the TSN Dynamite feed was great. Yeah. So I guess the international feed was great, but it was just like with TSN.
And here's a problem: is this isn't the first time that TBS, TNT, you know, Turner Networks. Did they still call them Turner Networks? I'm not even sure. Like that whole system has made AEW look bad. Yet with their lack of professionalism, they've screwed up sound issues many times. And we've heard from people who watch the international or watch on the VPNs be like, "Look fine for me." And this is not the first time that their media partner has really kind of screwed them over. So, I mean, that's bad, you know, especially when it's a contract year.
Yeah, especially when it's a contract year, and I'm hoping they get a bump in pay for them kind of screwing them over a couple of times. Like, obviously unintentional, right? Like, I'm sure TBS is not intentionally sabotaging the show, but again, like it's up to them. Like, they have to like hold up their end of the deal. But another great thing that happened last night is the new meme that we're all going to get to use. On the internet, Shad Khan face. Looks like an angry dad who came in, and one of my favorite jokes. I think someone said that dad face when he finds out that you spent you spent an hour on 1-900-909-9900. Like that literally happened to me. I called that fucking number, and I think I was on there for like 2 hours listening to Mike Tenay give me the scoops because I was too dumb to buy an Observer. I didn't know in like 1997 what the Observer was.
Dude, I never did that. We had a free version. We had the Cody Boyne's Wrestling Report out here that was free. So I would call that guy and he would just read Dave's news. Like it lasted for like a year and a half until he got like called out for it. But it was great for me because I didn't have to pay for the Observer. Like, I mean, that's really funny. I remember we were at a birthday party when I was like, I think 10 going on 11. And we were up all night calling that those 900 numbers that you see at like 2 in the morning. That's something from our youth. And then my buddy had to pay for his phone bill. And we all left him out to dry. None of us chipped in at all.
Oh my gosh.
That's what you do when you're 11. You pass the book.
Yeah, you call porn hotlines and you pass the buck.
What we did?
What do they still have those numbers to call?
Dude, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of like so far removed from all that.
Like we have the internet now. Yeah, I was thinking about this dude. I was talking with a friend of mine. I don't understand how OnlyFans functions. It's like people give money. Like, don't you know you could look at all this stuff for free? Like, I don't. These things boggle my mind.
Yeah, I don't quite get that whole thing, but I also realize that I'm like old and out of touch.
Ditto.
Yeah.
No argument for me, but I'm just like, you're giving this person money? There's a million, you know, it's not like it's censored. We don't live in communist China. You know, it's easy to find those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't quite understand it, but kudos to like female wrestlers who like figured out how to make them doing that.
Good for you. Like, there's a sucker born every minute. Dude, isn't that the most like pro wrestler thing possible though to do that? It goes right in like tradition of like the Rock and Roll Express tearing up hotel bed sheets and selling them as headbands. It's like the same thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. All right. Here, I'm going to get to the chat real quick. You know, I never got, so I sent, man, BJ must've got caught up at work is what I'm thinking. Cause he said he gets off work right at 11:30 Eastern time. And then he was going to try to hop on with us like 30 minutes in, but I have not heard back from him. So we're probably not getting BJ. So we're going to try to get BJ another time. Because if JD and I try to explain what happened with this Vince McMahon story, we're just going to sound stupid. Because I read it and I think I understand it. Like he tried to compel, like Vince tried to compel the Grant side to go into private arbitration because that was part of their NDA. So they're trying to get this out of the court. And then Janelle Grant's attorney said, fuck that. Fuck shoes. We're not doing that. And slapped it right back in there. And they said they're going to stick with litigation. So that was the extent of it. But what the Vince side did is they actually to try to get it to compel to go to arbitration, they slandered Grant like in doing so. And then ended up pissing off the lawyers, and they did it publicly. Like they did a public, like I don't know the legalese terms. Like I said, I'm not smart, but that's just what I gather from it. So, and then of course Grant's attorneys, you know, went back at them publicly and said, "Hell no, we're not doing that." And so that's where we're at right now.
Ann Callis is her name. Is the name of Jill Grant's right? You know, when this whole thing is done, if I'm Tony Khan, I'm just going to make a call. So, you know, your last name is very similar to someone we have on our roster. If you just, you know, maybe just throwing it out there, just throwing it out there. That's what I would do. Cause I'm petty. No. I'm bummed that we can't get BJ on. Cause like him and Brandon are the best at breaking this story down. And they're the guys who have not stopped fighting a good fight on this one. Right. BJ he's out there. We were in a group thread with him and man, he's always dropping little bits of knowledge on us about this whole thing. They're not going to let this go. They're not looking to settle. And Vince just got a Vince. Like, Vince just assumes everybody wants his money. And it's like, no, she wants to just take you down. And it's like, you read the lawsuit, and I don't know how you defend Vince McMahon. I don't know how nobody's asked Nick Khan or any of these people in public, how come The Rock, TKO board member, is still in contact with Vince McMahon, but you guys are bending over backwards to tell us that Vince is out of the company?
Yeah. Like why are certain sites, you know, giving us the run sheet for a show that's about to air in 10 minutes versus asking Nick Khan and Triple H why The Rock, who's on the TKO board, is still fraternizing with their former owner, who has divested himself of all stock, has no authority in the company. Why are they still friends?
Here's the reason. It's because wrestling media and wrestling fans don't want reality. right? And the only guys that do report about the truth and say to it are guys like Dave. And Dave can't tweet something without some fucking Conrad dork being like, I thought you hated Trick Williams. I thought you said he was bad. How dare you say he's green? Oh, bro, watch the show. Like,
that's what you do.
No, it's not. It means you're new to the business. Like, this is how wings work in banana republics, right? Is you take down the media, right? You take down the voice of opposition, and it's working because all these fucking dorks who might stroll across our page on accident, because Mike does a really good job with the SEO, but they're going to say, how dare you? And they'll get in the comments and tell us we're dumb. But the reality is you guys don't care about what's real. You guys don't care about what happened. All you want is your little hobby to be something you feel safe about. You don't want that reality. And I understand there's a lot of people who just want to feel, turn their brain off and watch wrestling for a little bit and not think about these things. But this is real life, right? Yeah. And this company aided and abetted a rapist. Like Bix put on Twitter today, they should call this a WWE trafficking story because that's what it is.
They're being investigated too.
They're part of the litigation.
Yeah.
Which is why they're going into overdrive with this. They're trying to save the public face of the company because this is really bad. If it goes into litigation, WWE is right there with Vince McMahon. They're going to like, don't let the Jimmy Van people of the world tell you any differently. And that guy's a piece of shit. Oh, I'm going to get sued for a sorry, Mike.
Yeah. So before we move on, let's just go ahead and move on. I don't think I have anything left on that one. No. So, I want to talk about free agency frenzy. WWE sent out a lot of releases they released a lot of people in the last week. They did some kinder, more gentle releases. So they put a bunch of new people on the free agency market, and I have the list of them, but before I get to the list, I want to set some ground rules, JD. Okay. And I want to set some ground rules with people in the chat. Specifically King of the North and anybody else, okay, that wants to pop in the comments, that wants to attack me and harass me on Twitter and bully me on Twitter. If you say that Jinder Mahal, Veer, and Sangha should go to TNA, you're blocked. That includes you, JD. Like I'm gonna request seat filler, JD, come back. Doc Preet was harassing me last week. I got King of the North blowing me up. A lot of people bullying me in comments saying that they're going to go. And what pisses me off the most is I could see it.
I was going to say, I'm awful angry for something that could actually happen.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, look, hold on. He showed up. He's here.
Oh, BJ is here. BJ. Oh, good. We don't have to tank our show.
Yeah. BJ is here. Thank you, BJ, man. Welcome back to the Mike and JD show.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving. I just got out of work late. We had the NFL draft tonight. You know, I just want to say best wishes to Tony Khan. He looked like he was hurting pretty bad and suffered from very, very painful spinal damage. I don't know what happened. I'm guessing it was in a car accident or something in the last few days.
Hey, BJ, as an old school wrestling fan, how beautiful is that cell? How beautiful.
It was amazing. I did not like them putting the video on. I thought it was purely out of hate, revenge, whatever. Yeah. But they have done this. The Young Bucks heel turn, Jack Perry, the video, Tony is 110% perfect. It is absolutely on the spot. And people are going to say, oh, but they got a 683, you know, going against two massive NBA playoff games, I should mention. Remember, Raw got a 1.6 this week doing the same thing.
And they lost the West Coast feed.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs. And it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yeah, they didn't have a West Coast feed. And what I want people to remember is this is a company whose storylines are turning around. Now, this doesn't happen overnight in the ratings. When Raw was turning around in 97, you know, Steve Austin didn't come out, beat Jake Roberts and say, you know, what about your John 3:16, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they're getting 5 million viewers the next week. It was a slow build. Their creative issues were a slow decline. This is going to be a big decline to get back up. And I just think everything they're doing is great. That Ospreay Danielson match, especially the way it ended, holy crap, it was amazing. I'm just like, yeah. I'm already watching this. I'm like, this might be the best match I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of great matches, and an ending angle was even more. It was, I mean, that added more to it. I'm just like, okay, this is perfect, because now you don't know, is Ospreay going to be depressed over this? What are they going to do with Danielson? Is Blackpool Combat Club going to murder Ospreay? You don't know. The women on Dynamite were amazing. I mean, Mercedes had the best promo of her career. You know, Willow's, you know, getting over. She's a massive baby face. Toni Storm, I didn't like the gimmick at first, but I think she's really grown into it, especially when she sells it at the press conferences. She's not relying as much on, you know, things she's prefabricated. She's just shooting from the hip, and it's pretty funny. And there's a lot of storyline going there. I think they're really turned a corner. And Toni's going old school. That was great. It was great to hear Richard Eisen mention it on NFL Network tonight. So,
yeah. Yeah, I thought Rich Eisen did a great job. And Pat McAfee, I thought he did a pretty good job bringing it up, too. So, BJ, you know, we wanted to have you on because it's been you and Thurston and I would say John Pollock and, of course, Dave Meltzer that have really stuck on this story, the Vince McMahon story. And JD and I were reading the different stories that are out. I pulled up the ones from The Observer. But I just don't think that we're articulate enough to explain it to our audience exactly what's going on. So, you're much better than us, sir. so you know, I think it was like a week ago, Vince McMahon's side tried to compel arbitration because they had an NDA in place and they felt like private litigation was the way to go. Can you explain like what happened with that process and where it ended up?
All right, so what's going on right now is Vince McMahon's lawyers have said, okay, well, she says there's an agreement in the NDA that says if you have any issues with the NDA, you go to private arbitration. This is something you see in a lot of contracts. It's in handbooks. When you sign your handbook for most of your jobs, it will say if you have a disagreement with the company over anything, you will go to private arbitration. What this means is they would, if the court would allow it, which means you would go to like a private corporate negotiator or mediator, and you both sides would argue about, you know, what the merits are of Grant's claims and what her injuries are and whether she violated the NDA, whether Vince violated the NDA. In my opinion, I think... it's pretty clear that they will probably have a hearing at some point. There's going to be hearings for they both argue whether they should have the arbitration or not. Sometimes they kick that to arbitration in court, in a civil court. but sometimes the judge takes care of it. But I think with the, I mean, this isn't a usual employee arbitration case or NDA arbitration case where it's involving, you know, company secrets. I mean, this is like high felony sex crimes. And in that case, and in many in federal law, especially the Speaking Out Act, you know, you can't use NDAs to cover this up. So I don't think this has much of a chance of going forward in arbitration. I think this is just a procedural move by the Vince McMahon legal team. They're a very good team. They got a lot, you know, they're huge, very large law firm. They just beat WWE. They represented MLW in that lawsuit. they got them to settle for a great amount, and now MLW's out signing a lot of people, and great for them. But then the next thing that happened is a day later, Ann Callis and Eric Holland, they come back, and they issue a motion to strike, which is, we don't believe the arbitration appeal has any, or arbitration motion has any merit. And it was just used to defame our client, the plaintiff, and Vince himself actually violated the NDA and broke the rules on it. So if arbitration's part of the NDA, then Vince broke it. Why should they follow any of the NDA? Because remember, a major part of this lawsuit is it will undo all the NDAs if the Grant legal team has its way. It will undo all the NDAs that Vince McMahon has had people sign for the last 40, 50 years.
Whew. And that could be catastrophic, right? I mean,
not for us.
I don't know. Yeah. I think some people might hold still to them. The thing is I think there's a lot of women who were affected by this in the 2000s, 2010s. They got young kids. They don't want to mess with this. Right. I don't know the numbers. I can just say I've heard these stories and I've talked to people and I've done reporting on it since about 2002, 2003 when I started doing developmental. And I know that you go back farther than that in the 80s, this is probably where they're going to have the biggest problem. Because if you listen to Tom Cole's brother, he's got a streaming podcast he does talking about this. There's been quite a few people from that area to come forward because they got adult children. They didn't sign NDAs because, you know, Vince wasn't directly involved in, like, the abuse parts of the, you know, the Ring Boy scandal. Those people probably have a lot less to lose coming forward. But I do know the Grant team's got, they've been talking to a lot of people, and I imagine there's probably other people also talking to other attorneys. I mean, civil suits are complicated. You can have people join them. You can have people join your suit to countersue the other people. There's all sorts of things that can happen, but right now, it's kind of where they stand. I think in about a month, they got to have answers to all this, to the hearing, and then also respond to the complaint itself. And around that same time, it's like, I think around May 15th to May 21st, you're going to have a lot of action in the Grant McMahon case. And I think at that same time, the Cash Wheeler felony assault, I think it's a felony. I don't know. I don't want to say that. I'm not sure what it is exactly legally termed, but the Cash Wheeler trial starts, which is down in Florida in Orlando. So there's going to be a lot of legal stuff happening in wrestling in the next month or so.
Yeah, and I'm sure the media will be covering that Cash Wheeler one in depth. And in fact, I think that they'll have good sourcing on that because that sourcing will be coming from WWE's PR team, I'm guessing.
That seems to be the best source in town. I mean, I wish I could get him to talk to me. I mean, let me know exactly how many people are sitting in, you know, the seats at different companies. I mean, that, wow, they can't even count the number they got at their own events. They're usually off by about 20,000. But, you know, yeah. But they know exactly who's at, you know, Daly's place on a Wednesday night, you know. I'll say this is, I covered some of the Russia disinformation stuff in 2015. A friend of mine, Chris Zapponi, with the Sydney Morning Herald, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because it's got relevance to what we're talking about. But the Russian disinformation stuff, 2015, you saw bots getting in action. I mean, people's posted, you know, on Twitter, screenshots of people attacking supposed Twitter accounts attacking various wrestling companies and are saying the same thing over and over and over again. And it's like different accounts. And I've noticed that started to spike up on Janelle Grant when she's been mentioned. I mean, I've had three or four come at me when I in one tweet, and I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting. They're starting to do that now. Yeah, but so it's like that's now becoming attack fodder. But Chris Lapone, if you want to learn more about that, Chris Lapone, a good friend of mine, he's a world editor to the City Morning Herald, has got a podcast about all this disinformation stuff, specifically how the Russians used it. It's called the Dark Shining Moment, but it has a lot of relevance to the wrestling industry because that's a lot of what's going on Twitter is just a lot of people just taking the narratives, so to speak, and just spreading them to the extremes and trying to just get people riled up. They can make money off that. And you can make podcasts off that. And this is something that's been happening in politics for 10 years. And it's just coming to other areas of the online life. And unfortunately, it looks like it's happening in, the legal case of Vince McMahon. So
Tony Khan talked about this, two or three years ago. And people laughed at him when he talked about how the bots operate. People just chuckled. And we see it now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's 100% right.
I was talking about it before he did because I saw it in action.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys I covered, I followed on line during the 2015-2016 election period. He got 7 years in federal prison. In fact, J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, talks about him all the time. You know, all he did was create memes. Well, he was also trying to subvert an election, and he was tricking voters into thinking they could text in their votes over the phone. And you can't do that. If you don't know why, watch All the President's Men. There's a lawyer that goes to prison for it.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, what Tony was talking about that, I mean, that had been happening before he even was talking about it. You could go into Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, any of their feeds, and it was just filled with bots and trolls. I saw one guy, this is how ridiculous it gets, is that Indiana University wrote a white paper on this stuff, and they basically used as a example the Last Jedi movie. And just how political it got. It's too feminist, it's too woke, it's too this, it's too that. Well, the truth was, it had a divisive opinion among fans, but it was nowhere near the way Twitter and other places portrayed it. And this was driven by bots, like the ones that attack AEW, the ones that go after specific people online. The stuff Tony Khan's talking about, that's real. This is actually happening. You go to Indiana University's website, they got a white paper on the whole thing. They even got a bot checker where you can just run Twitter account names through this field form they have, and it'll tell you if it's a bot or not based on how they're posting, and things like that. But seeing us getting involved in a grant trial, I think it's very unfortunate. This is just, I don't think this is a place for it. And I'm hoping our legal team takes a good look at this and maybe they can identify some of the players. And if it's on the other side too, if anyone sees people trying to interfere in the due process like this, even in a civil suit, I'd like to see them get taken out. Maybe this is a good opportunity for it. I don't know. I'm not surprised by some of the things that's been going on with the Vince. With the emotions by Vince's team. I mean, it's smart to try to play that back, take a chance at it. I mean, obviously you want that to go to a private mediator or arbitration meeting, and then you don't have to do discovery in the public, public's view. So they'll probably have some hearings on it, but I have a very low confidence it's going to get hold up.
And he was very clearly in that motion to move to arbitration. He was very much slandering the plaintiff in that. Like, if you read what was written as part of that motion, it was like, wow, he's like attacking this person while he's doing it and
viciously
and doing it in public to generate like public support behind him. And guess what? It's working, right? It is. Like the army of Vincels and Fed heads and all the other people. Like they're starting to rally behind him
Well, they want you to think it's working. I don't know if it's actually working or not. I don't consider Twitter real life, but
it's not true
because it's just so distorted by these things like this. And this the love letter, quote unquote love letter, which you know I went through the first page of it and found I think six different quotes that were lifted from things I Googled off the first page. And found the sources of. One source close to her side of it told me of a love letter book she got because apparently this was something that Vince liked legally, was letters like this. This was something that Epstein enjoyed and Weinstein. And, you know, it's good evidence to have in your back pocket. And it also features
exactly.
And
yeah, exactly. So it's not only a power move. Like you do this that way, if they come out against you later, then you have that as evidence. And then that's what the evidence they are holding that they're putting out there is like, hey, look, he couldn't have been this bad. Look what she said in these love letters that allegedly, right, that he allegedly forced her to write. So and that's what the plaintiff is saying.
Yeah. There were some things about those that concerned me was that one of them, that the letter that they had in the New York Post. You know, obviously that was meant to be an attack on Grant. I think they're really trying to play things straight at her. The NBC article boosting him up, talking about how he's flying around in his private plane, you know, picking up kittens and puppies for his best friends. And he still has high-profile friends like Donald Trump and John Cena and Dwayne Johnson and all this. And, I mean, it was just, you know, and then there was the arbitration motion, which was very... You know, there was a lot of invective put into it. I mean, this seems like a very, very Vince kind of thing to do. But post-wrestling, John Pollock had this today, is they've hired I can't remember the PR firm, the name, but they're heavy-duty bad situation PR firm. They've represented Weinstein in the past, R. Kelly, at least for a short amount of periods of time. They also represented Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin during certain things. I think that the quote in the story that Pollock has, which I'd encourage people to read, is that, you know, this guy's the master of the dark arts of public relations. And it's like, what's that mean? You know, it's like, that doesn't sound good. You know,
no,
I mean, this doesn't make you sound like a good guy if you're hiring them and you're innocent.
Yeah,
it's like...
Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction, right? He's the, what would they call him, the wolf?
Well, Winston.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. That PR firm hiring, what didn't surprise me, but, they're going to see a lot of big celebrity clients. I mean, he's going to have a lot of big representation. And they're going to be powerful people, and they're going to be tough, but at the end of the day, it comes down to evidence. And in civil court, it's only 51%. It's preponderance. You don't need to have beyond reasonable doubt like you do in a criminal case. And I think that's another thing Vince is concerned about. I would definitely be.
And he is preparing himself to be able to unload hundreds of millions of dollars on this case because he has divested himself of all his TKO stock. And he's got tons and tons of cash laying around. Should he have to pay out a big thing? And I think that he's probably prepared to just pay out and get this thing over with. But Ann Callis is just not letting that happen so far.
Yeah, I don't think they're looking for a payout. I think they want to bring us together as a class action and push it forward. I think there's more to this. I think you can see it in the way Ronda Rousey's spoken out about it. Was it Deborah Jazaway? He was with him in the 90s, was on a podcast earlier today and had some, you know, talked about issues she had working there in the 90s. But, you know, women that seem to be outside of the business and not of the mindset, they tend to really look at these crimes a lot differently than women who are, or these allegations a lot differently than, people who are inside of it. And you know, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a long haul. I mean, the criminal indictment, maybe that still hasn't come yet. There's still a grand jury out there. First they got to indict, for they may not indict, they may indict, usually they do indict. I think JD said it one night, or maybe it was you, Mike. It's just, you know, they, you know, the saying is, you know, a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich. And, you know, that's the saying. It's just, and it's hard to believe they wouldn't indict based just on the evidence in the Grant complaint. But you never know what's going through a jury's head or a grand jury's head or how it's being presented or what. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a long play. I think if people are expecting a lot of action in anything soon, they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to try to stick on with the story. I know other stuff keeps knocking this Vince stuff down the headlines,
I don't think it's unfair for that. I mean, this is a court story. It's unfolding like, I mean, it's like a submarine fight in like one of the old Star Trek episodes, you know. It's not exactly like a dog fight in a movie, you know. It's a slow moving. It's like two battleships. It's going to take a while. There's a lot of procedure and, you know, a lot of news will come and go, but I think there's, you know, between the reporters out there and myself, I know I'm dedicated to keep following this, and I really like how you guys have paid a lot of attention to it. I think you guys get, you know, you guys have a lot of credibility and you know a lot about wrestling and you know a lot about the history of it and what this means. I think a lot of people don't have that perception of it. Just, you know, what this means for the industry. And I think between everybody that's out there, yeah, I think the coverage will be pretty good at, you know, end of the day. I wish more people were covering it, but, you know, I think the people that are out there doing it are doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. I don't know that I need more people. I just want the right people. And it feels like with you and Thurston and Dave and John Pollock and the select few that have taken this on, I think that we got the right people on it. And for the children that are chiming in on social media and writing their vapid, useless stories, you guys can take a back seat when the adults are in the room asking the hard questions and getting the real stories out there.
Well, I thought you meant the guys in the chat talking about gender.
No, not the guys in the chat. Guys in the chat, I'm going to get to you. You guys are harassing me. But I'm talking about Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. Chat is live with Jinder Mahal speculation.
I know. Yeah, BJ, he got shit canned last week. And ever since he got fired, I've had one harassing tweet after another and people in the chat saying that he's going to sign with TNA. And what pisses me off the most is I could see it. And I have a TNA podcast, so that's rough.
I like Jinder, but I think he's definitely a guy who fits best in the WWE system. And I'm so stunned by the Trevor Lee release. This is a guy, he was 30 years old. You know, Mitchell was watching him wrestle at CWF Mid-Atlantic doing hour matches when he was like 24, 25 and said, he does an hour match as good as Steamboat or Flair. Like, you know, I don't know if there's anyone alive that's seen more 1 hour matches than Bruce Mitchell. And it's just, I don't know what they were thinking with that. Maybe it's just they felt he stalled. Maybe it wasn't the right fit. I would not want to be W. I mean, this just reminds me of when they cut Swerve or Athena, you know?
Yeah.
The amazing thing about it is he actually got over in NXT. He was a success story in a not great era of NXT. And the fact that he never even got a sniff on the main roster is surprising and a bit dumbfounding because he's remarkably talented.
Well, you know what happened, guys? You know what happened is he created that character where he got rich off of that Reddit trading thing where he was like, he put all his money on GameStop and he got that over. And so what they did is Vince gave that gimmick to Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin did the hap, like he was bum ass Corbin. And then all of a sudden he got rich. It was the Cameron Grimes gimmick. They just gave it to somebody else. And then he, ever since then, he stalled out and he never did anything again. Anyway.
That's WWE, you know. I mean, I would want to keep the guy that I would want to do the guy that can actually wrestle well, who's younger, got more years, is probably cheaper, and came up with the idea, you know. That's like a guy I'd rather have. Not that I don't have anything against Baron Corbin, but I just don't understand this one. I mean, he's obviously a creative, smart guy. I even think he dabbles in stock a bit.
Yeah. Well, I think the gimmick was like the character shoot. That they were making. Yeah, it was like a shoot character. I wish I had that character because I put money on GameStop too late, and I think I lost $500.
So did a lot of us, buddy. So did a lot of us. I mean, that's just such a way of. I mean, the Cameron Grimes character was just such a brilliant way of just taking. And I don't think wrestling does enough of this, where you just take in current events and fold it into what's happening. And, you know, right now, outside of Grimes doing that when he was doing it, I mean, the closest you get to the Acclaimed when they come down and do their rap, you know? And you know, I think you can see, get more inspiration from things that way. I mean, heck, look at Dusty Rhodes. He talked about stuff like that all the time. And
a lot of his promos are based off of like real world events and song lyrics and, you know, movie lines and stuff like that. Yeah, he's very topical.
If there was a cool country band or rock band, he had their t-shirt on when he was out on Crockett every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just, and Bret Hart did that too. I mean, you know, he was really smart about pop culture and, you know, everybody remembers him in Pink and Black, but if he was walking to the arena, he had a shirt on, he had a band shirt on. It was somebody really cool coming up. And it's like, I think that that's something more wrestlers, that's definitely a, you know, a fruitful area to farm if, you know, and get some ideas if it want. But I'm opening, I think this is just a great year for wrestling. It's just like, you got Cody winning. There's some, you know, WWE's got some cool things going on. It's not my type of product. New Japan, who you think should be dead, just, you know, comes into Chicago and sells out Sears and, I don't know what they call it now, but
Wintrust,
different arena.
Wintrust Center,
different arena.
Yeah, I mean, Mustafa Ali's, you know, the hottest indie act since Cody Rhodes, and now Trevor's probably going to come in right behind him.
I think you're right about Trevor Lee, and I think Joe and Rich made this point last night. Like, he is not going to have trouble finding work.
No,
like he's going to work. You know, the TNA MLW loop with like the North Carolina Indies and all, like he'll be in Prestige Wrestling, Game Changer. Like there's so many places for him to go. They're going to be like thrive, or they're going to be like foaming at the mouth to try to get Trevor Lee on their shows.
I think he has the potential to be a draw like Ali's been for Indies in New Japan and Jack Perry was. And also, Matt Cardona, you know, where he just created this, you know, indie god, super heel personality, and just, you know, he's able to bring in people with it. And I think, you know, Trevor, for different reasons, just because he's just so talented and creative, you know, he's definitely going to follow in his steps. And it's bad for him. I feel bad he got cut from WWE, but I think this is probably, for wrestling fans, it's our game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think John Muse actually said it best, and I'm going to pull his comment up because he's in the chat. He said, Grimes' gimmick with DiBiase would have worked on the main roster, but Trevor Lee did not pass Vince's airport test. Vince had lost touch and had no interest in NXT succeeding. And I agree with that. It's just, I think it was more of a look thing. But Baron Corbin always had the look that they were wanting, and so they just gave the gimmick to Baron Corbin, and of course he failed, because every time they push him, it just never works.
Because he sucks.
Well, I think we've seen how Vince versus good booking or more modern contemporary booking goes. You know, Triple H is, I think he's, you know, he's just getting out of the talent's way in a lot of ways, and he's also putting together matchups, and he's made WWE a babyface company again for the first time in 20-some years, and look at them thriving. They're doing better than ever, and once they got Vince out of the way, and that's kind of what he said, I think, Trevor, in one of the interviews he did, was just, he was never a Vince guy, it was a Triple H guy, and when Vince came back or he was there, it was just hot and cold with him. And, I think that experience being there, I think that's going to really, that's valuable experience to have, but I'll be honest, I think he's better off out of there. I don't think he would have ever gotten anything on the main roster like he would if he went anywhere else. I think he has more potential at other places. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be the next, you know, John Moxley or Kenny Omega or, you know, or the next big draw or the next swerve. But I just think that I think he can get a lot more out of his potential to other places. I also think WWE's also just biased in a lot of ways. I think they look to him as a North Carolina guy, and you know, and he talked like a North Carolina guy, and that's just how. I mean, the only time he ever had people with Southern accents on his show was Hillbilly Jim and the Wyatt family, and you know, and I think that's just a problem in the company is they look down on that. And about half the wrestling fans are in the world or in the Southeast United States. I don't think that's a good idea, but
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I call Trevor Lee a Triple H guy. I think Trevor Lee thinks he was a Triple H guy, but we're firmly in the they keep telling us week after week that we're firmly in the Triple H era, and he let that guy go. So I mean, I think that might be the new. Well, Vince loved me, but Kevin Dunn hated me. Or JR hated me. I think that might be the new thing as well.
Yeah. Vince, it was
Vince now, didn't like me, but Triple H loved me. Then why are you fighting?
Yeah. Triple H loves you, but Sam Nick Punk Nick Khan hated me.
Oh yeah, Nick Khan's a dick. Triple H loves me. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. But Ric Flair, you know, I got no problems with Vince. It was all Nick Khan's fault that he made me do this weird angle with my daughter. You know, that's your right. You guys are onto something there. You know, it's not Triple H. Blage's fault. No, he's now the guy who's become the last paycheck in the business, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we'll see for how long. You know, I mean, I thought the Mania thing, going back to the Vince case, I just thought it was very almost an encore with the way they brought some of the people out and the family. And that brings to me one of the thing that aggravated me most this entire year was, Triple H saying Stephanie's home and she's back here. And not one person asked her if she was back at work. You know, in the press scrum, I'm just like screaming at my phone, my dog's going, you know, crazy, peeing all over the house because she's having a panic attack because this nutcase that she lives with screaming at a phone because, you know, it's like, this is the easiest follow-up question in the world, you know,
they don't want to do that in those things, BJ. They don't want to ask the media questions. Don't get me questions. They want to play nice. This is what Mike and I were talking about at the beginning of the show. Like they just want to be friends with WWE. Like they don't want to actually.
They have no respect for people like that. Like Triple H, when the dude says, "What's going on, legend?" It's like Triple H just looks at this guy and is like, "Whatever." It's like, what do you want, Mark? It's like, what are you doing? I've been here for 6 hours. Don't suck up to me like I'm at the airport. Ask me a damn question. Like, Thurston still gets access. He asks hard questions. Every great question at a WWE scrum is Brandon Thurston, you know?
Yeah.
And
like Thurston and John Alba are like the only guys that are actually asking real questions.
Alba asked some pretty good ones, but Thurston's really the best. Alba asked some good ones. When HBK did the when he did the Q&A, and that was like the first real kind of media anything they had following the Vince lawsuit announcement, I thought Sean Ross Sapp did a pretty good job asking questions, and that's not an alley, that's not his kind of lane, but he went after him about it, and it's just like, okay, there's people that are willing, some people are willing to stretch and ask hard questions. It's like, why can't, you know, it's like, I think WWE would prefer it if a lot of the clowns would get out. But I think it's just so much of the media now, and the ones that really have the social media engagement and the, and that, you know, level of interest that they have to bring them in. But, maybe they love it. I don't know. I mean, I just get sick of press conferences where people give applause when people walk in and out. You know? It's like, I'm an old school sports writer. There's no cheering in the press box. You know, I hate seeing local TV stations. They change their colors to whatever the local pro team is when they're in season. It's like, I just want to, I would throw myself out the window of the press box before wearing any of that. Just like, and that just like, gosh, it drives me crazy. And it's like in wrestling, it's even worse. It's just, you got content creators, you got, you know, these suck ups. Like, oh, come on, legend. Oh, Stephanie, she just looks so beautiful. Yeah, whatever. It's
Hold on. We actually have a baby Huey from 107.7 in San Francisco. He's in the chat. He said he says he was in the press box, but they were not allowed in the press conference. So that was like a discrepancy. Like guys like even Mike Johnson wasn't allowed into the press conference because I think they just given out too many passes and they didn't have enough spots for everybody.
Well, I think they're afraid Mike might actually ask a question.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like his boss, old Dave Shearer, is kind of sucking from the teat of Chris LaGentile himself, because he is jumping on every anti-AEW story that's out there.
I started my way back. The first decent site I wrote for was One Wrestling when it had Shearer, Mike, and all them. And that was my entry. Friends with him on
that was my entry into the inside of pro wrestling was onewrestling.com, by the way. That was the first site I ever read.
If it was any of my stuff, I apologize. And you know, I'm still paying damages. Just sign up at the list. But seriously, yeah, I Shear was going crazy once AEW started. Like he was just going insane. I just pointed it out to him. And he's like, oh, I don't know who you are, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I wrote for you for 3 years, asshole. You know who I am. Like, if you asked me to come to PW Insider, you know, you and Mike did. You know, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, excuse me. But it's like LaShear and that hit that whole act where he's, oh, my God, how can you believe Dave Meltzer's doing this? I'm like, oh, my God, can you believe you worked for Bob Ryder for 5 years? You know, it's like. It's like, let's get into that detail, you know, talk about stuff you can't talk in front of kids. It's like, I mean, and these guys last, and that's the sad thing, but you know, I mean, you're talking about LaShear. That's funny that people have picked up on that. And you know, people are smart and they see through some of the engagement and crap and the game playing. People only want to believe that stuff because they want to believe it. And that's what makes it divisive and powerful, and unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of idiots. Like you said, there's a lot of children in the room, and they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm talking so much. I've drank five Cokes tonight. You know, I was looking for a picture. I spent half an hour looking for the Bengals with a picture of their first round draft pick getting handed his jersey.
Who did they draft? Oh, I think we lost BJ. Well, that's okay because I was getting ready to let him go anyway. But just in case he pops on, I'll leave him up on the stage. So we are gonna roll here pretty soon. JD, real quick. Okay, Jinder, Senga, and Veer, where are they going?
TNA.
Quick hits.
I'm sorry. I might have just lost my job, but they're going to TNA.
That's bullying. So I could see TNA. I honestly could see Jinder probably in TNA, but the other two guys, I just don't think that they want to do indies.
I think
those guys are like retired. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So BJ's out. Okay. I think those guys are retired. Trevor Lee, I think like tailor-made like to return to TNA. That's where he came from. Right. So it makes all the sense in the world.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't wind up in AEW. To be quite frank,
I think he looks like he could be an ROH guy, you know what I mean, and kind of come up. Like, if people are complaining about his booking in WWE, I don't think it's going to be much better in AEW. They're just too stacked. They don't have the spots, you know what I mean?
I agree with that, but he's got respect as a really good worker, and I could see those guys wanting to work with him. I could see Bryan Danielson saying, this is a guy we need. I think he'd be better off in TNA because I think they have holes. I would have a hard time seeing Tony Khan passing him up, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think he's really good. He's just not really a guy that's gonna get over at a high level.
You know where I'd like a star. You know where I'd like to see Trevor Lee actually? New where? Japan.
And they need people. And did you lose me for a sec?
I did.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, they need people, but I think that he could be a guy that kind of doing like what Nemeth and Ali are doing, just working everywhere. And
yeah, I can see
and doing shots there. What about Von Wagner, Calvin Bloom, Wayne Bloom's son from the,
I don't know,
from the Beverly Brothers.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's done
with wrestling because WWE didn't work out. His dad is in the business and he did train beforehand. I can't see AEW, maybe TNA, maybe MLW. Like, he's not that great. So I'm not sure what they're doing with him.
Yeah, I thought he had potential, but he just never really reached it. And he was there for a long time. So he's another guy that's like a college football player. You know, he was born into the business. His dad was, I don't want to say his dad was like a famous wrestler. I don't think he was all that famous. And I don't really think that he has like pull with like, he doesn't have like nepotism power, right?
No.
Like some like Rey Mysterio and Taz do. So like, I don't think that people are just going to hire him because he's Wayne Bloom's kid. So, but if he really wants it, the guy is like 6'5", 250, you know, college football standout at UCF. I think somebody's probably going to be willing to give him a shot. I know that AEW did pick up a lot of like NXT, like castoffs and try to give them a shot and do like Ring of Honor stuff with them and keep them for a while, like Parker Boudreaux and stuff like that. So maybe they'll give him a shot. But I don't know that he's going to be an indie guy though either. So we'll see about him. And real quick, before we get off here, I know we ran long tonight because we got BJ like right at the end of the show. Want to make a note, Mike Santana, he has signed a full-time contract with TNA Wrestling. Man, I'm excited about that. And he actually returned over the weekend at Rebellion and had a pretty good match with Steve Macklin. So Mike Santana is back in TNA, and I think this is the best spot for him.
I agree. Slap the title on him. Make him the guy.
You know, there is a rumor going around that Bound for Glory is going to be at the Hammerstein in Manhattan. And Santana is like he's a New York guy. I think he's from the Bronx. If they're going to do it, I think that'd be a good spot.
Agreed.
Kind of go all, he signed now. Go all the way with him, right? And I thought he had a ton of energy, charisma. The match was good. I think the last time we saw him, brother was eating a little bit, probably too much, but he's trimmed down since he's been in TNA, since we saw him last weekend. So he looks pretty good. Also in TNA, Steve Macklin just resigned. So all of my bullying, all of my complaining, all of my politicking and all of my, you know, finger poking has finally got them to sign my favorite guy. So thank you. Actually, you all should thank me if you're a TNA fan for getting this done, really.
Congratulations, Mike. I know this was very important to you. Who says bullying doesn't work?
Yeah,
it's good. I think that they needed to keep him. Now, hopefully, they to the level. He's been here for 4 or 5 years. Probably about 4 years now. So, I mean, let's really do something with him, you know?
He was in that first wave of, like, pandemic fireds that came over, and he was, like, one of the guys that actually, like, did something different and like unique and interesting and kind of bettered his stock, I think, outside the system than he did inside the system. He actually, so a friend of mine, I don't know if he wants me to expose this on the air, but I'm just going to do it. A friend of mine actually DM'd him and was like, "Hey, why did you sign a TNA?" And he said, "Money and freedom." And I was like, "That is the most American shit I ever heard. Thank you. Like, I love that."
That's a very Marine answer. Hey, you know, if he's happy there and he's having a good time and he thinks he's going to get pushed up top, I can't fault him one bit. I'm good with it.
Yeah. I dig that. Matt Hardy, he is in TNA, but he's a free agent. He's just doing the broken thing. I think it's all WWE. Like, maybe he can try to get this thing hot and maybe WWE bring him back. King of the North says Von Wagner should go to Noah to tag with Dr. Wagner Jr. And he's actually El Hijo. He's Wagner 3. El Hijo, Dr. Wagner Jr. Yeah, he is Dr. Wagner Jr.'s son.
We know a guy.
We do. We could probably get that done.
We might be able to negotiate that. We should put that on our text thread with our buddy.
We should try to get that one done. A couple others like Zion Quinn. I don't see anything out of them. Like, they got released by WWE.
Telling you right now, Zion Quinn's gonna get our bookings because they love his wife.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, they love. So Zion Quinn's married to Harley Cameron. Mm-hmm. So I think he ends up. He could probably get some dates over there.
By the way, that's moment for Zion Quinn.
Congrats, sir. Yeah, yes, congrats, sir. Zion Quinn. Who knew? Yeah. Guy's never even been on TV, and good for him.
Congratulations. Okay, got a hot wife.
Yeah. And then also, lastly, speaking of AEW constantly ripping off TNA ideas, much like the Learning Tree, The Grizzly Young Vets are going to be making their AEW debut this weekend. well, you know, obviously Grizzly Young Vets were never signed in TNA. They just worked some dates there. So not only did they take the Motor City Machine Guns, whom TNA opted not to re-sign, but now they're taking the other good tag team, the Grizzly Young Vets. So like took about 2/3 of the tag team division in TNA and bringing them over to AEW.
All of a sudden, AEW's tag team division's back. That's some really good teams back in there.
Yeah, it was looking pretty thin for a
it
while.
A little thin. It was a little thin. But yeah. Now you got the Guns, you got FTR, Bucks are doing some of the best work they've done in a long time. Now you had the Grizzly Young Vets. Top Flight's still pretty good. You know, all of a sudden, you know, Brian and Claudio were a good tag team. I don't know what's up with Ricky and Big Bill. But there's a lot going on there again.
Yeah, Ricky's hurt. Big Bill is joining the Learning Tree, so I don't know if that's even gonna be a team anymore. Top Flight can't stay healthy. And so they really have not improved. They're still just moves with a Z, guys. So you know, they're very cool to watch at times, but they're not getting over. And then Private Party, another tag team that just can't stay healthy, and they're just not out there grinding. So who knows if they'll ever get better.
I would love to see Top Flight do a Japanese excursion, much like old Jack Perry just did. Maybe get those guys working in Dragon Gate or something like that, where they can really showcase. Because they run a ton of Dragon Gate, runs a ton of shows, and with their style, I think. You know, some look what happened to Pac. They get guys pretty good over there.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. All right, guys. I think that's going to do it for us. I hit all the topics that I wanted to hit and then some. JD and I were talking that we might not have enough things to talk about, but boy, were we wrong. Another 90 this week. We tried to keep it to an hour. We did 90 again. So thank you guys in the chat. Thank you for sticking with us. I really appreciate it. Patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. Make sure you hit the like button, comment, and subscribe. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No way. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that, too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.